and grateful to be able to speak with you all right now. You know, this is something that's been on my heart for, you know, this semester and even before then. And so just grateful right now that, you know, Ben and I get to really share some thoughts with you all. And so we're really going to be talking about being used by God and allowing God to really work in our lives and maximize our gifts. And so kind of started out, you know, probably one of the more well-heard songs on the Hamilton soundtrack is My Shot, right? It goes kind of like, you know, in the chorus, they repeat, you know, I'm not throwing away my shot, right? I'm not throwing away my shot, right? So you keep repeating that, and it's definitely very catchy, you know, but I think when it comes to, you know, this idea of being used by God, you know, God really has a shot for each one of us that he wants to take. He has opportunities and he presents things to us that he really wants us to take. And so I think in many ways, God doesn't want us to throw away our shots, and he wants us to take it and to go after it. And so this kind of leads into the title of the overall lesson, which is just your shot. And the first point I'm going to be making is, in order to shoot your shot, you need to have faith, right? If you're going to shoot your shot, you need to have faith. And then Ben's going to come in and he's going to talk more about the practical part of it. But, you know, if you could turn to Hebrews 11, verse 32. It starts off by saying, and what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. And then it kind of keeps going in it, and it keeps sharing about all the incredible things that they did. You know, and I think when I remember the stories, when I think about the Old Testament, you know, what stands out are the crazy things that would happen, right? And what I love about the scripture is that, you know, it says, yes, right? Those crazy things happened, but they happened because of their and through their faiths. It was because of their faiths that God was able to really take them on an adventure. And that's ultimately, I'm sure, what each of us want, right? We want to go on an adventure. We want to see this life to the full. And so, you know, you may be asking, okay, well, you know, how does faith play a role in being used by God? So, I mean, I'm glad you asked. So earlier in this chapter, you know, first off, I would say to read that whole chapter, if you can. But earlier in the chapter, it says faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance what we don't see, right? And so faith is honestly, it's being sure of something that should be unsure. That's faith. And I think, you know, we can have a tough time seeing how God wants to use us at times for many reasons, but I think one of them being that, you know, many of those things may not be tangible things, right? Many of our gifts or many of the passions we have may not be tangible, or we may not see it as clearly. And so then we have a hard time connecting with, okay, how can God really use me? How can God really use me? I know that's within the scriptures, you know? You know, but, you know, and I think what's interesting is, you know, I've talked to many people and, you know, oftentimes, you know, they can't even, it's hard for people to tell me, ask them, you know, what's one of your gifts? They have a hard time telling me just a single gift. But I think, I believe that God has something in each of us that he wants to be used. And so before you can really let God use you, you need to have faith in what he can do through you, right? Before you can have faith in how God is going to use you, you need to have faith in what he's going to do through you and through your life. And so do you believe that God has really prepared you for incredible things? I think we've all heard that before. But when I think about it, you know, I think it's so incredible, and it honestly doesn't make any sense. Like, in God's eyes, we were just worth the investment. right? And there was no reason for him to invest in us, right? For God, he's already showed us that he has faith in us by sending his son to die. Right? He's already gone the extra mile for us before we even had a chance to show him our performance, right? to show him, you know, what we're even capable of, right? He's already showed and displayed his faith in us. And I think God, he sees something in each one of you. I believe that. I think if we're being real with ourselves, you know, we can believe this in theory, but our hearts are not completely there sometimes. You know, oftentimes, I think we tend to be the biggest hurdles when it comes to living out this adventure-like faith, right? And we tend to go to this mundane, more fear-driven attitude, right? We tend to get in the way of ourselves. You know, but what I really want to do with the rest of this time is, I think, because that tends to be the case, I want to just talk about a few different ways or a few different things that we can tend to, why we can tend to lack faith in ourselves and in our abilities. I think if you guys can actually first, can you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20? I think this is a really great scripture. All right, it says in verse 20, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. I mean, just listen to the scripture, right? It talks about a house and there being different articles in it, right? It talks about gold, silver, there's wood, there's clay, there's stuff that's used for special purposes, right? There's things that you use more on a common day-to-day basis, right? You know, I think about my house, right? My mom has a pretty dope tea set that she pops out every so often. You know, I rarely get to see it. It's on special occasions, right? I think we can all understand that, right? That there's different things in my house that you use every day. There's things you only take out every once in a while, right? And I think he's really illustrating here that, I mean, in the church and even here, we're all different, right? And I love that God designed us differently. He designed each of us specifically and with different abilities and different gifts. I think it's because we're all innately different when it comes to our thought processes, our temperaments, passions, you know, and just personalities. We're different. And I think that's valuable. The fact that you're different, the fact that you think differently, the fact that you, you know, have different passions is valuable to God and to the church. And so I think one major area, you know, that can be tough for people to understand this, you know, being used by God is when there tends to be other people involved. You know, I think it can be easy to compare ourselves. And you know, when you think about it, right? You know, you're surrounded by people at school. You know, so and so got an A on a test, right? And you got an A minus, right? Church, it's easy to compare, you know, and just in life, right? I think it's, we compare ourselves, and I think this kind of ties back into something I was talking about before. I think we compare ourselves because I think it's easier for us to see that, right? It's not as easy to see, okay, God, how is God going to use me in this area, right? But it's easier to see people's accomplishments, see what people are doing, right? And it's easier to measure ourselves by that standard. And so I think, you know, I think with that being said, you know, everyone's gifts are not the same. But I think there are going to be many things that people are good at that honestly you may not see. That may not be the most in-your-face gift or the most in-your-face passion, you know, Ben's going to talk about that more later, you know, but I think that's okay. You know, you are definitely valuable too, you know, and it can't be a comparison game. But I do want to ask you, you know, why do you compare yourself? Why do you go to that? And, you know, what are you comparing yourself to? But then why are you comparing yourself to that thing? I think being able to assess where you put your faith when it comes to your gifts and being used is vital. You know, without this understanding, you're going to be sitting waiting for God to use you when you're going to be looking in the wrong direction. And you're really not going to be used to the full potential. And comparing our abilities to someone else is honestly, it's just not being faithful. You know, really, we have to measure ourselves with God's measuring stick. And God needs to be where we're putting our faith, what he can do through us, you know, not what somebody else can do, right? I don't care about what, you know, so-and-so can do, but I only care about what God can do through me, right? And so, you know, to close out this part right here, you know, what scriptures do you go to when you need to be reminded of your worth in God's eyes? What scriptures do you go to? Do you have scriptures? You know, there are a ton of scriptures that talk about our worth in God's eyes, right? We need to be reminded of these things. We need to fight fears with facts, and we need to fight these this faithlessness with faith, and that comes in the scriptures. And so, and I think in paired with that, if you lived your life right now like those scriptures were true, like if you lived it tomorrow, what would be different about the way you're living right now? If you were living out, this is true about me, this is how God views me, right? How would you be living? How would your interactions be? How would you be interacting with your schoolmates, right? Or your or people at home, right? Or even people at church, right? How would you be interacting if you believed those scriptures? And now, you know, I may not be able to address everybody's perspectives on, you know, this topic. I think that's okay, right? You know, I think you got to ask yourself. This is kind of like a baseline, and you can ask yourself more, you know, why might I be lacking faith when it comes to being used by God? These are just a few things. But I think another reason that somebody might lack faith is honestly just the feeling of inadequacy. You just feel like you're inadequate, incapable of doing something, you know? And I mean, I was thinking about this in hindsight. You ever wonder why we avoid difficult things in general? I was looking up a lot of different research and stuff. And a main reason, honestly, it isn't because of, you know, just the fact that it's hard. But it's honestly because of a fear of failure, right? And I think if we fail, then we kind of identify as that thing, right? It's like, okay, I'm incapable of actually completing this assignment or something. And we don't want to be labeled that way. And so we can kind of procrastinate, right? We can push things off. I'm going to wait. I'm going to do a little bit later, right? And so I think it's important to realize that. You know, I think of Luke 19 in the parable of the 10 minas. You don't have to turn there at all. But you know, and basically a nobleman, gives his three servants, three different amounts of money to invest, right? He's like, hey, take this, invest it. And you see the first two servants, take his money and they invest it, right? And they get a return on their investment. And then the third one, decides to just sit on it out of fear. Right? He decides not to do anything because he was afraid that, you know, of how the master would respond if he had lost it. And ultimately, what the master notes, he doesn't note the servant's performance. He notes the lack of faith in the servant for not doing it anyway, not investing. I think we need to realize, you know, that God is not looking at our performance. God is not looking at, you know, what you can do, what you can accomplish on your own. He's looking at your faith. And if you're lacking faith in what God has entrusted you to invest, I think that's just going to be evident. But I know many of you want to have faith and want to invest what God has given you. And I think some ways that this can kind of come out is, you know, I think I have to catch myself in this thinking oftentimes too, is, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I don't know. I don't really have anything worth sharing here. Right. Or you can shy away from different opportunities God presents just out of fear of failure, you know? And so I just want to ask is how do you cope with failing? You know, what are your tendencies when you fail? Right. Because ultimately, you know, we should be drawn back to God, even if we fail, you know, and that's where the faith comes in. And so instead of focusing on what if I mess up, I try focusing on more on where can I use my gift. And I think it's that diverting your thinking, right? And so, you know, reflect on the things that, you know, I mentioned, and maybe it's something else for you. You know, maybe it is something else. But I think we all have to kind of assess those things for our own, you know, our own sake. But now, and to close, you know, you should have faith just because God has already had all the faith in you. And definitely be mindful of those things mentioned. And now Ben's going to come up and he's going to talk about more of, you know, being used practically.
All right, Manny. No, I appreciate that, bro. I just want to say a quick shout out to Manny. Man, I'm inspired by your faith, bro. That was very encouraging. And I know your major is engineering, but maybe you should be an architect, because Manny was the one that really kind of, you know, created kind of the frame, the baseline, everything that we're doing with this lesson. So great job, bro. No, I appreciate that for real. But yeah, so now my part is kind of talking about, all right, we have this faith in God, and we establish this faith in God. You know, that's where it begins. And then after that, you know, what is the result of that? What are we going to do with this faith? Because it's not just enough. We see it in the Bible, you know, numerous times in the New Testament. It's not just enough to have this faith. Where's the action? What comes after that, essentially? And so this is faith in action. This is using our gifts for God. And this is, you know, when talking about shooting your shot, this is you shooting your shot. This is you taking your shot and really getting after it. And so, you know, there's a popular phrase that says, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? And if we don't take action, if we don't even take the shot, there's not even a chance that God can use us. There's not even a chance that something good can come of that. And I think we really need to have this mindset of, okay, maybe not necessarily shoot your shot in the conventional societal way, but just taking action for God. I think that really needs to be our mindset. And so when it comes to taking action for God, you know, we really have to focus on what gifts do I have? What do I have to offer? Where can I be used? And so in all honesty, sometimes that can be hard to think about, you know, how can God use me? You know, maybe I'm good at something that's not exactly, you know, maybe I'm not good at singing, maybe I'm not good at leading a message, maybe I'm not good at, you know, connecting with a bunch of people. And then we can kind of think like, oh, you know, I don't really have any useful gifts, quote unquote. But God has given you those gifts for a reason, and he can sure use those gifts to help him and to better his kingdom, for sure. And so, you know, I think there are definitely different gifts, like Manny mentioned earlier. Not everybody has the same gifts. And if we did, you know, the campus ministry would be very boring. You know, everybody would be the same. And so I think when starting to take a look at our gifts, I think it really helps to have a background of and start with an understanding of why God chose to give us these gifts, and why he chose to create us in the first place. And so I want to look at Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8. And I'll just give you guys a second to turn there. But yeah, Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8, and we're going to read verses 8 to 10. And so that reads, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so quite clearly we see in the scriptures that God has given us these gifts and these talents and these passions that we have in order to do good works. And so, like I said before, these gifts can not only just be the ones that we see front and center that are immediately just jump out at us. You know, these gifts can include, you know, being a great listener. Being a great listener is a great gift. I have friends that I have that are great listeners, and I appreciate the fact that they can listen to me when I talk and they respond to that. You know, just being a great friend, that can be a gift in and of itself. You know, that we all have, I think we all have friends that are not as good at being a good friend. And then we have friends that we can really, really just count on, you know, when we need them and when we need them to be there for us. You know, there are people that are great at encouraging other people. We need a lot of encouragement. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that can get us down, and we need those people there to help pick us back up. And then one of the ones that I struggle with the most that I'm just amazed at how other people are so good at is just having great discipline. You know, a lot of times I think I form bad habits, you know, I don't even know when, honestly, probably in middle school and high school, but I just am not good at being disciplined. And there are people that are very, very disciplined. They're very ordered. They have a schedule. They can stick to that schedule. And that's truly a gift because I don't have it. And so I think that, you know, when looking at all these other things that, you know, just looking at somebody, you wouldn't necessarily be able to be like, oh, you know, they're definitely, you know, great at maintaining a great discipline, you know, or they're maybe you wouldn't know that they're a great listener. And so there are these things that don't immediately jump out to us, but that can definitely be used by God. And so, you know, when looking back at the scriptures, talking about, you know, he created us for these good works that he prepared for us to do. Good works can be anything that is righteous and pleasing to God. You know, anything that we do that pleases God and is righteous can be included in those good works. And so I think that when we're striving to be more like Jesus each and every day, you know, naturally we're going to start to do these things. And then when we're able to pair those things with our gifts, that's when God really is able to bless what we do. And so a question I have for you guys is how can you use your gifts to encourage the campus ministry, to help the campus ministry? How can you use these gifts? And this is something I'm hoping to tackle as we get into the 3 points that I have for you guys tonight. But really what I want you guys to think about is this is the campus ministry has to be about the students. Like, you guys are the reason why we have the campus ministry. If we had a bunch of willing leaders but zero students, we would have zero campus ministry. It wouldn't be possible. And so this is really an opportunity, I think, to have the mindset of really taking ownership of the campus ministry. You know, the campus ministry is kind of driven by the students. And so I think just having that mindset and going into different events and even just tackling the semester really goes a long way when you have the mindset of, okay, this is my campus ministry. What can I do to help the campus ministry this semester? And so the 3 points I have for you guys tonight, starting off with the first one, and that is obviously, you know, faith in God. You know, Manny broke this down beautifully, but I just wanted to expand upon that just a little bit, especially the part that, you know, it's not about pleasing ourselves. It's really about pleasing God and having our faith in God. And I think a lot of times when it comes to our gifts and talents, that can kind of turn into pleasing ourselves a lot. Oftentimes we kind of get to a point where we're kind of doing what we like to do, we're doing what we enjoy, and yet as a result of that, it kind of ends up being like, you're just really doing it for yourself in the end, and it doesn't really have anything to do with God. It really just comes down to, what do I like to do, and I'm going to do that. And so just a question I want to pose for you guys is, where's your faith right now? Are you putting your faith in God, or are you putting it in yourself or your own abilities? And I think sometimes this is really hard because we see numerous examples of people putting, you know, faith in themselves and people having great talent and them being able to accomplish really great things. You know, you think about celebrities, you think about artists that we like, we think about all these people that have really great talent, athletes as well, you know, people that I look up to, people that just have an amazing talent and they're using it oftentimes for themselves, and yet they're wildly successful. And so we look at that from afar and we're like, wow, you know, they have everything. They have money, they're taken care of, they have no worries, and they're using this talent to kind of get them to where they want to be. And it's really, you know, faith in themselves has gotten them there. And yet the question I have based on that is like, but what treasures are these people storing up for themselves? You know, and I think back to Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. And you guys don't have to turn there, but you know, it's talking about, you know, where your treasure is stored. And, you know, the treasures here on earth, you know, they will be destroyed. Everything will come to an end. Nothing is going to last forever. And everything that we gain here is only going to be destroyed. And yet, when talking about treasures up in heaven, they're eternal. We're going to have those forever when we get to heaven. And so, you know, at the end of verse 21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so where is your treasure currently? Are you thinking about what can I do here on earth? What can I gain from my talent? What can I gain from all this? Or is your treasure in heaven? Is your heart in heaven? And so I think that we just need to think about consciously, like where is our heart? Where are our hearts right now? Are they here on earth or are they in heaven? And so a lot of that has to do with our faith in God. And so our faith in God has to be the baseline for which we do anything for God. If we don't have faith, if we lack faith, then our actions ultimately are going to be meaningless. And so, yeah, faith in God is the first point. The second point I wanted to make is focus on others. And this is something we hear a lot, you know, in the campus ministry. You know, we really are about going and making disciples and reaching out to people. But yet, what is a campus ministry that isn't outwardly focused? And who are we as disciples if we aren't outwardly focused? I just think that a lot of times we can just think of, oh, I just have to do this when I'm on campus, or I just have to do this when I'm in class, or I just have to do this in certain situations. But in Mark 16, verse 15, this is Jesus talking to his disciples after he's resurrected. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." You know, we're not here just to kind of sit idly by, kind of conveniently just kind of be like, okay, I'm just going to talk to people whenever I feel like it. No, this should be our life. This is our calling as disciples. And so I think, you know, we know hundreds of people. We're on college campuses with thousands more people. We have opportunities. Of course, right now it's a little different with COVID. You know, you're most likely not on campus, but we've been in situations where we know a bunch of people. We have people that we went to school with. We have people that we had class with, and they all need Jesus. If they don't have Jesus in their life, if they're not disciples, they need Jesus. And we have to have that mindset of really focusing on others. You know, I think a lot of times that, you know, our faith in God has to do with us and kind of focusing on our faith, but also our faith has to be lived out through focusing on others and kind of seeing, you know, where can I help other people? And of course, that's not always easy. You know, there are people that are introverts or not as comfortable, you know, just talking to people about God, and that's fine. You know, I think that where can you think of your gifts and talents coming into play in that regard? So maybe, you know, for example, you're really good at dancing, and you have a group of people that you dance with, or you know people through that. Talk to them, you know, share your passion for dancing, but also share your faith through that. Shit, like have them see Jesus through your life and the way that you go about things. And so a question to me that was posed one time, I believe it was by Stephen Aguaya, and he was just like, "Yo, do you want your friends to be saved?" And I think we need to ask ourselves that as well. Like, do you want your friends to be saved? And a lot of times we don't think about that when we're just, you know, hanging out with friends and kind of just having a good time, but you know, they need Jesus just as much as we did. And if we were in a situation where we had never heard the message of Jesus, never heard the gospel, and were never told that by anybody, then we would be in the same situation as them. And so I think we just really need to have a heart for others and focus on others. And that brings me to my third and final point. We need to be filled with love. I think, you know, all these things are great. And of course, we need to have faith, and we need to focus on others, and we really need to use our gifts and talents for God, but we need to do these good deeds with love. And that is really evident in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3. And just to quickly read some of that, it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing." And so we can do all we can to use our gifts to honor God. We can do all these amazing things like the examples that Paul gives right there. But at the end of the day, if we don't have love, then we're nothing. And we can't accomplish anything without that. And especially right now in a divisive country, in a country that you see so many crazy things happening, especially now in an election year, you know, tensions may be high, divisiveness may be at an all-time high. We really just need to be, like Rob said earlier, that light to the world. We need to really embrace this campus ministry and being a ministry of love. You know, God's kingdom is a kingdom of love. And if we're in his kingdom, we should be people of love. And so that's the focus that we need to have when we're using our gifts for God. So kind of just to finish up just really quickly, I wanted to kind of go over some like practicals that we can think about and just be thinking about how we can use our gifts for God and for the ministry. And talking about how our gifts can translate to help in the kingdom. And so just for an example, you know, if you have the gift of encouragement, and a lot of you guys definitely have that, for sure. And so that can be literally like sending encouraging text messages or giving people random phone calls or just checking up on people and just encouraging them that way. You know, that's helpful. That's really helpful for the campus ministry, but that's also using your gift to help with God's kingdom. And it's little things like that that you may not think of, oh, that's not a big deal at all, but they're actually really, really important. And it's something that God wants from us. And so, you know, talking about other gifts, we could have the gift of service, you know, maybe just making yourself available to serve in any capacity. You know, you have midweek Wednesday night, Devo Friday night, maybe talking to somebody being like, you know, I want to help serve. I feel like I'm really good at serving. How can I help to serve in this week or next week or whenever you need me? And just making yourself available for that. You know, the gift of planning, you know, help us plan events. These events need a lot of planning. It needs people that are good at planning to kind of get them kind of all set up and ready to go. And if you're good at that, then offer to help with that. You know, going on, the gift of creativity. We have a social media that we want to try and focus on and get people to kind of be aware of. And so if you're a creative person, you know, help with that. Again, gift of knowledge. You know, maybe you're really knowledgeable about the Bible. You can help lead studies. You can lead Bible talks. And you know, the list could go on and on about the gifts, but there are so many gifts and different things that we don't necessarily think about when it comes to gifts and talents. And yet they're all out there. We all have different gifts. God has been able to bless us with different gifts. Again, that's what makes a campus ministry so great and diverse, is that we have all these different people coming from different backgrounds with different talents. And that's how we're able to do all these amazing things for God. And just think about, you know, what is a gift I have, and how can I use that to help God's kingdom and help the campus ministry where I'm at right now? You know, God kind of puts you guys all here for a reason in this campus ministry, for whatever reason. Maybe we don't know that yet, but we can be confident that he has us here for a reason. And so to close, you know, let's use our faith to do the good works that God has prepared for us. You know, let's use the gifts he's given us to encourage and build the kingdom. And remember, let's do all this in love. So that's it for me, guys. That's the lesson. Again, thanks to Manny as well. And so I'm going to pass it over to Mark now. He's going to close us out.